We know that show business is hard. There's a lot of backstabbing and stuff.
Racism isn't a global issue, right? We know that, unfortunately. My question is, have you faced or encountered some racist incident?
Yeah.
He was like basically a brother to me. And one day he just showed up. He got into this relationship. And then he came to me and he said, look, we cannot be friends anymore.
It's currency, so your time, your emotional energy, everything is like, let's say, $100. You can't give $100 to 1,000 people. So that's what I really learned how to do. Before, I wanted to be loved by everyone, and now I don't care. It's hard. It's hard when these hard times come up, but the biggest thing that we have is each other. And in order to live with each other, we have to respect each other. And then it's going to be easier to live together.
Harry, welcome to the show, Storytelling with Kamal Zahid, a show about love, business, fashion, and storytelling. And I know you mastered all these departments. You and I have been friends for the longest time. We are family, and that's why I'm very honored to have you as my first guest in this show. So you are a celebrity makeup artist slash designer. And you've been living in Poland for 10 years. So could you tell us, how did you end up here? And why did you come to Poland?
My country, why? You look very Polish, very Polish. 10 years ago, I came here with my best friend, whose father is a big investor here, and had like kind of like a big grocery chain here that distributes alcohol, food, etc. And they were looking to start a new business, a beauty kind of like startup. That was specifically designed for Polish women. And so this was incredible. That's why I came here. But what made me stay were the people, I would say. I fell in love with the country. I fell in love with the people and the friends that I made. So that's what kept me here.
I see. You mentioned the makeup specifically for women. So why Polish women?
Well, in Poland, I would say the predominant population is Polish women.
I wouldn't know.
But I also felt like, I mean, we all felt, especially the investor, that there was a big opportunity in general. 10 years ago, there wasn't that many cosmetic options. There was just only a few places like Hebe, Rossmann, Sephora, but not all of the concepts were catered and specifically for the Polish woman. So even foundation shades, they were not able to find their color. They would go more orange or completely, you know, not matching them. So that was our challenge.
Interesting. So speaking of challenges, so you've been living here, like you said, for 10 years. Have you come across like some difficult challenges to adapt to the Polish life? As an American, I assume, and Japanese, but you can tell us about that more later on. So what are the challenges that you've been facing living in Poland as a foreigner?
I would say the first thing would be like cultural differences, you know? Even just something as simple as the first greeting. In America, it's like common practice to say like, hey, how are you? And it's kind of just like a hello. Whereas in Poland, they're very honest. It could be that way. But like if they're in a bad mood, they're going to tell you it's a bad mood. If it's bad weather, they're going to be like, this weather is bad.
It's true.
You know.
Speaking of which, you know, I've been traveling to the US a couple of years ago. And for the first time, it was like 2012. And when I was entering this shops and I was like, everybody hitting me, hey, what's up? How are you doing today? I'm like, wow, I must be amazing. Everyone is interested in me. Yeah. But I find out it's a little bit kind, I wouldn't say fake, but it's just like common practice.
Pleasantries.
Yeah, exactly. And I know what you mean. So my next question would be, what would be your top advice to people who want to come and make a living in Poland?
So my biggest advice is choose the right circle, make the right friends, because your friends can become your family. And when you're a foreigner, that's one of the biggest things that you're missing, which is support, structure, family. So the friends that you choose become kind of like the family that you have. And I would say the second thing is don't give up. Like there's going to be cultural differences. It's going to be harder. It's going to be challenging for you, but that doesn't mean it's not your place. Those challenges just mean that you need to overcome, learn how to adapt, and learn how to tango, you know.
With Polish people. Okay, so the idea, because you are an entrepreneur, successful entrepreneur, you have established your business here or several businesses, and so what specifically, what made you successful here in Poland? What do you think is the reason that you've been enjoying this recent successes?
Wow. I think that the first thing is just treat people right. Okay. When you do the right thing with, you know, and take care of people, if you're a real friend and you show up, those friends will be good to you. And I think, like my mom always said to me, if you want a good friend, you have to be a good friend. So I feel like relationships are the core of any business. It's relationship with your client, relationship with your employees. Those relationships will carry you through and will translate into success.
Interesting. So what are the main differences between, I imagine you were also working in the US, mm-hmm. and so what are the differences in adapting in the business culture? Mm-hmm. Because I know from my own experience, it is not the same. Like Moroccan business culture and Polish, it's a different animal. And so for the people, you know, who, let's imagine that some people are, they want to come to Poland, or they came to Poland, that they want to be successful here. We know it's not easy, and only few can do it. So tell us more about that.
I would say the biggest difference between like American business culture and kind of like economic climate versus Poland is the diversity of America. So it's much more wide. There's a lot of cultures to cater to, and there's like a wide, and English in general as a language too is much more general and easier to communicate and kind of finesse. Whereas Polish, you know, in terms of business culture and language, is very just like, it's just one, you know? So the biggest advice for someone moving from a foreign country is to understand the people. Don't just sell to the people. Understand the people. Make relationship with the people. Learn the language, or at least try. Effort is the biggest indicator of interest. And if people see that you're genuinely interested, they're going to be interested back in you.
I see. Interesting. Because from my own experience, it's exactly the same. Because, well, it's different, but maybe you felt this way when we're going to come to it, because my next question is quite serious, and I hope you're ready for it.
Oh, my God.
So racism isn't a global issue, right? We know that, unfortunately. So my question is, have you faced or encountered some racist incident, and how did you handle that? Do you have any stories to share?
Yeah, I have experienced racism before, but I wouldn't say that it's something like very specific in Poland. Even in America, when you're Black, gay, Japanese, whatever, different, you experience some sort of discrimination and that feeling of alienization. In Poland, I've had a few stories where people would say, go back to your country, or they would use the word Muzhin, which I know what that means now. For me, this just says it's a cry for help. It's like they don't really know about foreigners, and you can't take that personal. That's their story. That's their problem. So, and what I choose to do about it and how I choose to react is what creates or solidifies that kind of idea that they have in their head. So I've experienced racism, but my response to it is usually love, because I want to counteract this kind of image or whatever that they have against us, and kind of like be like an energy bender
and bend that back with some light.
I see. Because I myself, I remember my very first story with racism. It kind of molded me to become a better man. So I kind of did what you did. It's like I took that energy, played with it, tango with it, like you say. And I remember, so I'm going to tell this story. The show is about stories. So, man. All right. If I cry, guys, edit that shit in Photoshop. So I remember I was leaving this club, Opera. I don't know if you remember the club Opera, the old good days. the memories. And, you know, I had a good time. And because I came here alone, I basically didn't have friends in the beginning. So I was forced to go out, you know, kind of make friends, you know. And I had this tip. I was actually approaching guys, you know, like, hey, man, are you having fun tonight? We start a conversation and so on and so on. And then I saw this girl. She was standing there, like the most beautiful girl I laid my eyes on, you know. You're like, oopsie. And so So I was like, I was working up my confidence for like probably 1 hour. Like, come on, do it. You can do it. You can talk to her. I mean, I'm exaggerating. Maybe 20 minutes. And
but it feels like an hour.
Exactly, right? And I'm like thinking, okay, you can do it. You can do it. And I just like said, okay, 3, 2, 1, the rule of 3 seconds, and boom. And I went to her, and before I opened my mouth, she's like, oops, sorry, I don't talk to the kebab guys. And
wow.
And I was like,
she never ordered kebab before?
Yeah, probably. And now we're laughing. But at that time, it's like my world had been like frozen, you know. And I just wanted to dig a hole and fucking disappear, you know, inside it. But at the same time, it's like, you know when they say before you die, like your life flashes between your, you know, before your eyes.
Almost that dramatic.
So I would see like flashes, like, I don't know, man. It feels very uniquely spiritual. It's like I traveled in times and then I came back. It was very weird and unique experience. Because, I don't know, it's like I saw the future, then I saw the past, and then it hit me. I was like, why would she say such thing? Because I'm definitely, I'm not, you know, I don't have like, you know, Kebab King sticker or something. And then it hit me. I was like, man, it's maybe because of your look, you know, I don't know. And I was just like wearing, I don't know, a t-shirt from Zara, like very super basic stuff. I didn't care. I couldn't care less. And I went back home, you know, cried a little bit.
Oh.
I'm kidding. So I was taking the shower and thinking, what made this lady give this comment? It was definitely my appearance because I didn't speak. I didn't open my mouth, you know. And it got me thinking. I was like, yo, what if we do the reverse effect? Imagine I was wearing this incredible outfit, stylish. Because the confidence was there. I can guarantee you that. And that's what I did. So the very same day, I started Googling around, you know, how to be stylish, how to look good, how to leave a good first impression. I think that's the thing I Googled, how to leave a good first impression. And then it's like your style, your aura, your confidence, and the rest is history.
Fashion is the best introduction.
Now, when I compare the two men, especially after I improved my style, and it's like my world flipped upside down and people start coming to me. So, and maybe business, like I launched my first company just because I was going to clubs in suits and I had people approaching me coming, hey man, where did you get this suit? Where did you buy this pochette? What did you? I was like, okay, I'm building a business. I'm building a company. And I did. And that's why, for me, this racist incident has completely changed my life.
Mm.
And I think it applies, you know, your advice is valid because, you know, you take that energy and you dance with it and you throw it back. So I was walking and I met this girl and I'm just kidding, I didn't meet hers.
You reversed it, basically. You basically took that racist perspective or idea that she had. And you proved her wrong by saying, like, this is just an image, but even just on the image, absolutely, I will excel at this. Like the luxury perspective.
Exactly. And that brings me to how we met. So,
yes. Oh, my goodness. I remember when I saw you in the view. Like, this was when I was just figuring out Poland, like, the whole social scene. Yeah. And you were over there, the VIP section, with your $1 million suit. I was like, who the is this guy? All the girls were around you. You used to look like a Moroccan prince. I came up to you, and I was one of them that asked you, I was like, where'd you get this suit? And you're like, I made it. Like, this is one of the things I designed.
Yeah.
And you did like a whole metamorphosis. You took with the suit, the pochettes, and that was like one of my favorite suits that I wore. I would wear it like almost every other weekend.
Nah, man. But yeah, but I, you know, I could get away with it because I have the company. But just to close up this topic, so in what way you think Poland could improve its inclusivity and acceptance? What can we do?
Oh.
Because I don't know if you might notice, but Poland is becoming a little bit, diverse, and it's really nice to see, this simply this diversity, you know?
I don't think it's something like Poland as a country has to do. I think it's just naturally going to happen. The more people and more foreigners that they're exposed to, it's just going to naturally kind of create awareness, exposure, and kind of like visibility. And this is going to permeate into media, into relationships and stuff like this. So I would say it's on the flip side. It's also like on the foreigners as well, for us to make and create ourselves and to kind of present ourselves in the identity that we wish to be understood and accepted as. So it's our responsibility to present ourselves and be our authentic selves. Whereas in Poland, it's their country, so they can, you know, but it would be nice if it would be, you know, a little more gentler.
You know, it's funny that you say this, because when I came to Poland, I did not find any Moroccans. And selfishly, I did not want to, because I was here. I really wanted to grow and discover a new culture. And, you know.
Interesting.
But the other side of this matter was people here, because I came like the very first time, like in 2008, they did not know much about Morocco. And I immediately, especially after this racist, you know, incident, I felt this responsibility to be an ambassador, you know, to Morocco. Like, hey, guys, we don't sell kebabs. We don't even eat kebabs in Morocco. It's not our thing. It's more like a Middle Eastern thing, which is, you know, ironic and funny. And I have decided to become that ambassador, you know, and just, you know, tell about the culture and everything, you know. And I enjoyed this role. You know, nobody pays me, but
they bring your authentic self.
Exactly. And I love it. And that's why I actually launched the other, you know, the Mechanist brand, which is deals, you know, precisely with the Moroccan heritage and culture. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I'm very, very happy about that. So my next question would be more about friendship, because you and I have been friends for the longest time.
Brothers
and family. And I have some recent, you know, falling out with friends, and we can get into that later. But how did your friendships and relationships evolve in Poland, and how that affected your personal and business life?
I think my definition of friendship changed a lot in Poland. One, like I said, Polish people are extremely honest, so it takes a lot more work to gain their trust and to gain their friendship. Also, over the years, when you start to develop those authentic relationships, you start to kind of like develop your emotional intelligence and self-awareness, and start to realize what is actually authentically really your friend, who's really cares about you, and who is there for the ride, who's there for the success, who's there for the image, and who just really doesn't care about you. They just want things from you, or, you know. So those kind of things like open your mind up as you kind of like develop. And so I would say that that's the biggest change that I've noticed with me. And my biggest lesson is, in order to be a good friend, you have to be a good friend. So to those that have been consistent, those are the people I share my loyalty to. Those are the people I spend my time with. Those are the people I show up for. Everybody else, I don't have real estate in my mind or heart for anymore. Because you think about it, like in your time or life, it's currency. So your time, your emotional energy, everything is like, let's say $100. You can't give $100 to 1,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's better to give like the core people $20, $50, $30, and really keep and maintain those true, authentic relationships. So that's what I really learned how to do. Before, I wanted to be loved by everyone. And now I don't care. Now I just care about having the right relationships and having friendships that are actually like family.
I see. So how many friends you would say are like your best friends currently? Because, you know, often people say you cannot count your best friends on one hand. Is that true?
I don't think that anybody should have a rule about like the number, because everybody's emotional capacity to love, communicate, everybody's $100 is a different kind of spread. Some people may have like $200, you know, depending on their life style, depending on their time. So for me, I would say that like definitely on my best friend list, it's definitely under 10. Before it was like, you know, like 20, I was like, oh, best friend. No. Mm. Best friend, like, I need to at least have like one argument with you to understand your conflict management.
True.
I need to understand you in the good times and the bad times. I need to understand you when you're in your bad times. I need to understand you when you're in your good times too. When you really understand people and all those cycles, and you're still able to maintain a genuine and fair and balanced friendship, where it's not about like value necessarily from each other, but it's more about, do you feel peace? Do you want to be? Do you care truly about that person? So that's kind of like my feeling about friendship here and how it evolved.
So did you recently like lose some friends or made some new friends?
Oh, of course.
Can you tell us about that and
how
that's made you feel and made you stronger perhaps?
I think like as a New Yorker, you're used to, it's a very transient city. So you're used to like, when something doesn't like work, they're just like, okay, done, next one. I have 20 other friends for dinner or whatever like this. But Poland made me kind of develop that skill of really maintaining and keeping real friendships. And as soon as like they were not authentic or something rose, I like to fix. I like to like kind of like, okay, you know. But if it doesn't work, I'm not going to force it. You know, like it's not always up to you to fix everything. Sometimes if it just naturally breaks, it naturally breaks. And it's the flow of life. So I prefer to be like water. So if I need to flow, I can flow. If I need to be hard, I need to be hard. But I'm always transparent, you know, and everybody needs water.
I like that approach. I'm asking this question because recently, for me, I don't know, this year or last year, I've been just like one after the other, my friends were like disappearing. For obvious, not obvious reasons, but not so obvious reasons, I would say. And I remember this, one of this, so, because I have a question of that. So I have this guy that he was like basically a brother to me. And one day he just showed up, he got into this relationship. And then he came to me and he said, look, we cannot be friends anymore. And I was, and I hoped that he would completely like be honest, you know, because I know, you know, this, because I've seen the background situation and I know it's about the relationship. And but what broke my heart is the lies, like to tell me, oh, we cannot be friends because of, and I'm not going to say what she said because it's completely ridiculous. And so my problem or my question is, why does it feel that people are not honest these days, especially friends? It feels like everyone is greedy and everyone is trying to take something, you know, out of you. And when they can't, they just move on, which we analyzed the other day was the case. So what do you have to say about that?
I would say that's not a real friend. That is, I don't want to call it like a vampire or vulture. But there's a difference between colleagues that are there for value from you versus friends that actually care about you, respect you, and appreciate you. Those feel different, you know? So no relationship would be able to sweep that foundation. And they would be able to be honest with you. And if they're even scared to tell you the truth, they would give you time or, you know, sometimes the truth can also destroy. Sometimes you do need to be silent in those moments, you know, to protect something. So, but to lie takes it to a different level. So that says that they don't respect you, that says that they don't value the friendship enough, or that they feel like whatever they're going to say is going to break the fantasy or whatever connection that you guys have between each other. And if that's what they esteem your relationship, then that says a lot. So for me, it just says that that's not a real friend, or that they didn't feel like it's a real friendship, or said it's so fragile that they don't want to test
and see,
but to test it basically. So that's what I would say. It's not a real friend.
Well, that's, yeah, I know, but that's why, because we talked about it briefly. It's like navigating the business world. You have to be, you know, surrounded by, you know, friends and family and people who support you. So how do you balance that? Having working, you know, in the, you know, makeup industry or the celebrity industry, if we say, which is, what's that word I'm looking for?
Show business.
Show business. Thank you. Because we know that show business is hard. There's a lot of backstabbing and stuff.
Emphasize on the word show. So answer your question, yeah. I would say,
so how to navigate that world? How can one, you know, survive?
Oprah
with a tea.
So Oprah Winfrey once said, when someone shows you themselves, believe them. So whether it's an action, a betrayal, a lie, whatever that they do, it's a reflection of their character. So if they lie to you, see them for what that is. If they betray you, don't like go analyze why or whatever. Like, you know, there's a reason why this is. And you cannot change them. You can't fix them. And it's up to you to say, do I accept this? And you accept the love you think you deserve. You accept the friendships that you think you deserve. You accept the treatment that you think you deserve. So it becomes up to you. So first, it's like when they show themselves, see it for what it is. Don't try to make an illusion like, no, that's my brother for 10 years. No, he lied to you. No, he cheated you. No, he whatever, betrayed you. And then the second part is, do you accept that? And if you don't, then what do you do about it? So what do I really want? And what is the next best move? So usually in my style of friendship, I like to fix things. I like to talk face to face because in this, you can clear the air. You can really filter, reset, replug the relationship and establish a new level of authenticity, of accountability, of honesty. And if you're able to have that, then you can build. But if you're not and they're slippery, then it's not worth, you know, wasting any more time. And so I just got really good at just like, okay. And as Ariana says, thank you. Next. Thank you for showing me yourself. Okay. I'm not wasting my time.
Interesting. So where does forgiveness fit into this narrative? Do you forgive, not forgive? How do you navigate? Because I personally really struggle. Because now when I think about all these friends that let me down, I feel like I don't have the capacity to forgive them. I mean, I can say, yeah, okay, we can shake hands, but they would never get back to the place in my heart where they were, they used to be. You know what I'm trying to say?
Like, I understand.
How do you navigate this fine line between moving on and forgiveness?
So for me, I feel like forgiveness is actually more for you than it is about them. They didn't care. If they cared, then it would matter for them. So for you, forgiveness is better for you because it will help heal you. It will end that chapter of pain, of focus, and of giving someone or something real estate in your head that doesn't deserve that space. Secondly, forgiveness is also about like letting go. It's not always necessarily like saying like, oh, let's get back and become best friends again. No, it's letting go of the pain. It's letting go of like running over those thoughts in your head and instead giving you that freedom to allow this new space to be filled with light or love or passion, something that's constructive for you. So I think forgiveness is an absolute necessity, but not more for them, more for you.
Okay, so looking ahead, what are some of your, let's say, goals in terms of, you know, business and even personal-wise?
Goals for business and personal life. I think my goal is like forever trying to find that balance between the work-life balance.
Okay, so we're going to come back to that as well.
So I think my biggest goal is to kind of like balance it where I work enough and be efficient with my time so that I'm not wasting time and just dedicating my life to work. And also applying enough and scheduling time with intention for my friends and also for myself. This was something I didn't do before. I believe success was just like working, working, working. When you work hard, success will come. Not true. If you don't have time for friendships, if you don't have time for relationships, if you don't have time for yourself, success will hit you because you won't have time to really be able to embrace it. You won't have people to share it with or people to support you or you support them with, you know? Mm-hmm. And also on top of that, you won't be able to appreciate it if your health deteriorates, if you, you know, so it's not good if you don't balance it. So for me, my biggest goal is balance, finding a balance and making kind of like a good proportional time for myself, you know, my friends and things that I care about. And
So how do you do that practically? Like,
I schedule it.
Like, how do you manage to have this balance between, you know, working? Because I know you do a lot of things. And I honestly wouldn't. I mean, cannot even fathom the idea of being that, because you're working on too many things. Or so how do you do that? Like, how do you manage it? It's the question that everyone want to know.
I would say that, like, one, everybody's different. Like, I need it. I have extreme case of ADHD. Okay. So I love to have a million things going on, but you also have to have self-regulation, self-time management, and really be intentional about your time. So when I look at my time, I look at how much time I'm effective at a certain thing. And in that time, I really get everything done as much as I can within that time. And then, like, for example, you have 7 days a week. So I'll say like, okay, let's say every other day I'll be in the gym. So that's basically 4 days of the week I'll go to the gym to like kind of like regulate my physical body. Every day I'm reading something. So this will feed your mind. Every day I'm also listening to some sort of like podcast or whatever, just to give some few tips in there. And once you feed your mind and take care of your body, those are two elements of your life that will give you energy, that will give you confidence, that will give you wisdom, and it'll just give you a new outlook on life. And then the rest is scheduling time with friends. So a lot of times it's easy just to like work. But you got to show up to those birthdays. They matter. You got to schedule those times for your friends. And once you do, you start to realize like, wow, you actually have a lot more time than you think you did. When you do less, you have the sense that, oh, I'm so tired, I'm so busy. You're not really. But when you do actually more, you get more done, but you somehow feel like it's a better sense of time. And you're happier because you're able to spend with friends. You're healthier, you have more energy, you know? So for me, it's more about being intentional about filling up your time and scheduling your time with intention for things that are kind of constructive for you.
So how do you manage to meet up with these people that you care about? Because now, I speak for myself, at my age, most of the friends I know, you know, they're married, they have kids. It's a nightmare to meet up with these people. Mm-hmm. And we established, you know, personally, like we did this, we call it the mastermind group. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's this four or five of us. And we try to meet like once a month, but it's not easy. So do you have any tips or strategies? You know?
It's being intentional, like following up with the people that you really want to, and also finding common interest. So if you understand that they have families and stuff, that means their lifestyle is completely different. And you're going to have to tango and just adjust yourself into this new reality. So, and care about the things that they care about. So if they have a new family, that means their kid is their biggest priority. So be that uncle, show up and be a part of their new chapter in life. If you really are their friend and you want to grow with them. So I would say that's one of the biggest things. And being consistent. So like having something regular. So like even us, sometimes we have our business meetings and you know how much I'm working and you stepped up and you helped me out and my business. And this became like quality time, but also productive time. And it's constructive. It's something we look back and we'll later on in life just smile upon, you know. So being intentional, understanding the realities that your friends are in and showing up in those spaces so that you guys can grow together. Because you evolve in life.
Love it.
Evolve together.
Because I'm asking this, and I see that the topic of our conversation went, you know, orbit around friendship. Because I believe that without the friends, and again, maybe I speak, but I think it's the same. Without the friends we've been able to meet and make here in Poland, they made our life way, way easier. Because I personally felt, you know, accepted in this Polish community, you know, if I may. And I think without certain people, I don't think we'd have been the same experience. So I believe that the advice that I would give, you know, to people who want to come to Poland or, you know, make a living in Poland is come with a open mind and open heart and just, you know, feel the experience, live the experience. And I think that's what made our lives easier here because they're like, drinking vodka, yeah, let's go. We're doing shots, let's go.
And now I'm like, no.
And I think these little things, you know, I speak for me because that's, I saw the biggest changes in my life when I really started to adapt to this, you know, to the culture and just go with the flow. It's like, we're doing this, yeah, we're doing this, you know. And I... Because this is funny, I remember, because I came to Poland in 2008, and then I left, I went to Germany, and I lived there for 2 years, and then I came back again to Poland, because I was not happy there. And I remember I applied for a job in Berlin, and they're like, oh, we're going to help you to find you an apartment, everything. I said, okay, because it's a nightmare to get an apartment in Berlin. And, you know. And then I remember they put me in this Arabic neighborhood. And I was like, yo.
What are you trying to tell me here?
Like, I'm trying to live the German experience. What am I doing here with this? I mean, it's not, you know, it cannot be racist. I am, you know, Arabic. So, but it just showed how their vision was completely reversed. It's like, no, I want to live in the most expensive, you know, upscale German, German, let's say, neighborhood. And I did. And so that's when I decided to come back to Poland. I decided to completely immerse myself in the Polish culture. Just live it. And I say that because that breaks my heart sometimes. And we will go back to this ambassador lifestyle. Because when I see, for example, France or maybe Spain or Belgium, and I see some people that are actually born there from African countries because of and they try to just live their, Moroccan life in France. And thus I found it very stupid, because they're trying to force some traditions and it just doesn't work. And that's one where you have this, let's say, clash of cultures. Mm. And this thing I didn't see it in Poland, and that's why I was actually very happy about that. I mean, I'm for the, diversity and everything, but it feels like I see it this way. So if you move to another country, it's like you're going to live in someone's house, and I don't think it's right to bring up your rules to the house and say, hey, this is how we're going to do things. I don't know. I'm curious. What do you think about this?
I don't know. I respectfully disagree. I mean, okay. I do agree that when you come to someone's house, you need to respect their rules. Yeah. But I don't think that means that you need to compromise your values, your heritage. So like if you're, Muslim or Christian or like, and that's important to you, be your authentic self. But respect others. Don't impose your ways on other people, So if you want people to accept you, then you need to also accept them and their boundaries and their lifestyle. So I think that's like how I feel about that. I don't think it's a matter of like, you shouldn't, practice or do the things that...
Practicing, obviously. But I think it's the key word here is respecting the other's culture. And I think that sometimes gets, blurred and lost in translation. It creates these clashes. And... So that's the idea. So
that's actually a very important topic, what you're talking about right now, because actually me and my assistant were talking about this the other day.
Mm.
Like some people are like, oh, all we need is love in the world. And she was like, no, I don't agree with that. And I loved what she said, cause it was super smart and brilliant. And she was like, no, what the world needs is respect. Cause like not everybody has the capacity to love, beyond themselves or whatever, but respect is like a step back in terms of like the level of effort. And it's acceptance, it's tolerance, it's another layer that's less intensive than love. You can't expect everyone to love. Look at all these divorces and relationships and friendships that are breaking up. Respect is a tier and a level down that everyone can live with, So, and I thought that was quite powerful. And that's a revelation that I think that would work everywhere in the world, especially now what's going on in the political climate in Poland. We took in a lot of Ukrainians. There's a lot of different foreigners.
Yeah.
And it's, it might be uncomfortable sometimes for them to have people in their space, in their house, as you said. But respect, because there was points in history that you also needed to be accepted in other houses or, needed support. So it's hard. It's hard when these hard times come up. But the biggest thing that we have is each other. And in order to live with each other, we have to respect each other. And then it's going to be easier to live together.
Interesting. I love that. I love that. All right. We're going to touch one last topic, because I remember, this is going to be a tricky question for you. So my Moroccan hairdresser, he was actually a hairdresser mainly for women. So he spent his whole life with women, between women, the gossip and all the things. And he became so good in giving advice, because he just like understands how a woman thinks. I'm a little guy, I'm going there for my haircut, and it's like this. And a girl broke my heart, I think in high school or something. And I was like, I'm fucking pissed. This girl broke my heart. And then he started giving me advice, like, come on, listen, this. And then these haircuts became the most incredible thing I looked to, I was going probably like once a month. But his advice was so spot on, so powerful, that I was just enjoying. So now, back to you. you're in the makeup, you know, space, and I guess a lot of women do that makeup. So I am a guy who's looking for love. I want to meet the woman of my dream. How would you advise me to go about it? Knowing your knowledge, because I know you good. You know how they think.
True. To be honest, when it comes to love, that's a really tricky question, because I think that the biggest advice would be your authentic self. Be the person you would want to date or seek the values from. You know what I mean? So if you want a certain type of woman, just imagine what type of man that woman needs to be with. So if you want a queen, you got to be a king. And in order to be a king, that's not just telling people what to do and like just having power. Power is responsibility. Power is discipline. Power is influence. And if you don't exercise that over yourself, you won't be able to be that person for someone else. And you won't attract it. So the better you become, the better you attract. And I would say, improve yourself first. Be the man that you wish to be. And that queen will find
show up.
Oh, yes, she will.
Okay. All right, quick follow-up question here. It's like, what do you think the thing that men don't get most about women?
Ooh.
In your opinion, obviously.
That's a really good question. What do I say, like, men don't get about women? I feel like men think that women are over emotional and like, you know, but I don't think so. I think that the biggest thing is that there's a disconnect in communication, and there's a global change in terms of gender roles that we are, as men, are not processing. The definition of masculinity and the role of masculinity in this modern day and world is not the same. Girls don't need men the way that they did before. Before, we were the providers, protectors, and all this other stuff. And this was almost like a structure to survive in history of mankind. Now it's different. They don't need it, you know? Now it's a new definition of what is partnership? What is our relationship? Who are you and who am I in this context? So I think that the biggest thing is that the man needs to understand themselves as a man. What does it mean to be a man? Is it the old traditions of being a provider and all of this? Or does it mean being an amazing partner? Because there's some, like, let's say my celebrity clients, a lot of them are, the females are the stars and that are making all the money and are traveling and running around. And their partners are people that are support systems for them. Well, that didn't fit the old definition of masculinity. So for me, it's a matter of redefining yourself in the partnership with the right partner and making that harmonious and balancing it. It's about you being dominant. It's about you being supportive and kind of like yin-yang, matching and fitting together. And this is where you'll find happiness.
Beautiful. I'm going to apply that.
Well, $1,000. I'll send you a factura.
Well, Harry, thank you so much for being here with us. Any last words, advice for living in Poland or somewhere in the world?
I would say, and like not just to men, but I would say the biggest advice to be your authentic self. You're going to live in a prison if you keep trying to be or fulfill a fantasy for your girl, for your family. Do it for you and really ensure it, because that's the best relationship you can have is with yourself.
All right. Thank you so much. If our viewers, listeners want to connect with you, where can they do it to know more about your work?
Oh, wow. So actually, we're building websites together.
Yeah, exactly.
So pretty soon we're going to be putting live Harry J. Pro, Harry J. Makeup, and harryjefferson.com. You can also find them on Instagram, Harry J. Makeup.
I'm going to put all the info in the show notes and people will be able to connect with you. And hopefully we can launch your website very soon. Yeah. Have a little party. And thank you so much.
Love
See you soon, man.
Ciao.